Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 8:13 Friday morning here at WWL. That means it is time for Mike Dettelier to break down the Saints-Giants matchup for us every Friday. As Mike Dettelier, with Mike Dettelier, rather, is Rouse's Market Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. How you doing, Mike Dettelier?
I'm doing great, Tommy. Thank you, brother.
Let's look at the depth charts here. Let's break it down. When the Giants are on offense and the Saints are on defense, tell me how this is going to play out.
Well, with a young quarterback in Jackson Dart, one of the things you noticed last week when they played the Chargers, they ran a lot of the same plays that he ran at Ole Miss. You almost could put copy on copy. And when he takes off running, most of the time it's right up the middle. Very mobile guy. He was a winner at Ole Miss. He figured out a way to win. Got a really good arm. Now, he'll be without his top catch person, certainly with Malik Nabers out for the season with a torn ACL. So to say he has a legitimate number one is not really the case. I think the one guy he's got some rapport with is number 18, Darius Slayton, the veteran guy, former Auburn wide receiver. And he likes to go to him. But I think they're going to try to run the football. It is something you take pressure off the young quarterback, and they've got a rookie there in Cam Scatabo, and a lot of people saw him last year. I saw him originally. He was at Sacramento State, and he transferred to Arizona State last year. He sort of carried Arizona State on his back late in the year, running and catching the football. They're not an explosive offense by any stretch. One of the things, maybe give him a couple different looks, try to confuse him on making a throw downfield. got a really good center and a left tackle. Everything else is a little shaky up front along the offensive line for them. I know they won last week against the Chargers, but even before that, they were real shaky up front. A lot of pressure coming from what would be the quarterback's right side. So, that's something to watch for. Can the Saints get some pressure on Dart? And if you get it, then you got to contain him, because one of the things he loved to do at Ole Miss, and we saw it last week against the Chargers, he ran the football 10 times, 9 of the 10 right up the middle. When he was at Ole Miss, it was something he did the exact same thing there. He liked to take off, and when he does, it's not to the edges, right up the middle.
So how do the Saints prevent him from doing that?
You play a little sugar rush with him. You know, you get up the field, but you don't give him an avenue to take off running. You know, your deal is, if you're going to beat me throwing it. But I'm not going to let you run the ball all over the place, because, you know, on third down and 8, and he gets 11 yards. Nothing drives a coach crazy or fans nuttier than that. That you've played well on first and second down, and you give up that third down conversion play. Get him off the field and get an opportunity there. Again, he's only had one start, so you understand. Maybe a little bit of confusion there. Not everybody's Jaden Daniels, okay? Most of those guys go through that maturation period in the pros, where, you know, because you got some of them, well, if you can play in college, you can play in the pros. That's for a handful of guys. That's not for everybody. There is a growth period there. especially at the most critical position on the field. And, boy, before last week, Brian Daboll, a head coach there, he was taking some major heat in New York. That's nothing like losing and in the Big Apple.
Jameis Winston, he's got a pretty good gig in New York, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's in the media mecca, and he doesn't have to play.
No, he's making a decent salary.
You know, Russell Wilson, you know, was the starter there, and I think we all knew eventually. It was kind of like the situation here with New Orleans. You know, eventually Tyler Shuck's going to get the baton.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the guy, and you sort of know when the season started for Russell, the veteran, that he wasn't going to have a long leash as far as being the starter there before they went to Jackson Dart. And so Jameis is the number three guy on the list, and we'll see what happens with him. But one thing with Jameis, he's become quite the personality.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And, man, you in New York where you can kind of cash in on that.
I just saw his name on a roster, and I'm thinking, you know what? All in all, it could be worse than it is for Jameis Winston.
Well, Bobby always says that, Mike, just extend a career.
Absolutely.
You know how much money you make as a backup quarterback in this league? You don't have to be a starter, and you don't get beat up.
And he's got Russell Wilson between him and a starter.
Yeah. So. And so, hey, that's even better on that particular part. Where the Giants really have talent, though, Tommy, and you got to exploit some of it, but where they got talent is on defense.
All right, let me pick that up on the other side of the break. But I got to ask you first, we talked Monday about the Saints and some guys freelancing on defense. If you got a quarterback take off up the middle, you don't want anybody freelancing on defense. You got to play disciplined.
You got to play real smart up front and not kind of draw out your lanes. Because that's the one thing, Dart, when you're going to see him, he's a very athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not afraid to take off running with the football. Again, though, when he runs, most of the time he does not break trend and want to kick things to the outside. He wants to run it right up the middle. So make sure that your middle guys understand, don't get out of that containment and give him an opportunity to take off running. My thing is, you know what? You're not going to beat me running the football. My thing is to stop the run and say, hey, rookie, if you're going to beat me throwing it.
And on the other side of it, the Giants coach, he's not looking at this point, I don't think, Brian Daboll is looking to develop Jackson Dart as a drop-back passer or take your time, develop. He needs to win now, so it's like if you want to run, run. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Bradshaw, he got a great comment about it. He said, man, I was a runner when I first hit the NFL. Who developed you into a pocket quarterback? He said, I got hit. That's
and
what
that developed him,
into
yes.
A pocket quarterback real fast.
So I don't think Brian Daboll's saying, well, just sit back. You know, it's okay if you take this. He's saying, no, you do whatever you got to do. Pick up the first down. We'll pick it up when we come back with Mike Dettelier, 821 Traffic Now, WWL. Friday morning, 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Mike Dettelier every Friday morning with Mike Dettelier is Rouse's Markets Football Friday. Shop and save at Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. Got the depth charts open. We've already talked about the Giants offense and Jackson Dart, who's prone to run up the middle. And Mike says, you know, you could beat me with your arm, not with your legs. That's what the Saints have to do on defense and play discipline. Let's talk about when the Giants are on defense and the Saints have the ball, Mike.
They got some talent, man. Now, it hasn't all come together, and they've been run on. That's what was perplexing last week. The Chargers with Jim Harbaugh only ran the football 13 times on mm-hmm. them. What? Okay, if you're giving up over 150 yards a game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rushing, why wouldn't you just sort of tag him and try to run the ball? I don't get that. But again, sometimes you got game plans that don't really work. They threw the football 41 times. That didn't jive.
Seemed like a good idea at the time, huh?
Yeah, man. But it all starts with 97 up front. You can't miss him. He's 6 foot three and a half, 345. At least that's what he claims. I think he's bigger than that. But that's Dexter Lawrence, mm-hmm. a former first-round pick from Clemson. He's one of the best interior guys in the game. He got his first interception last week. You saw a lot of guys trying to kind of get out of his way like an Ole move, you know, mm-hmm. until finally somebody kind of undercut his legs and dropped him. But, man, he can cause you a lot of havoc. So get a hat and a hat on him, because he is a guy that's really disruptive, and he's the nose tackle, so you know where he's going to be. Him and Eric McCoy, that'll be a matchup to watch in this game. And then they've used first round pick after first round pick after first round pick on the edge guys. Brian Burns, who they acquired in a trade from Carolina, former first round pick there, is their best pass rusher. Mm-hmm. They got Kayvon Thibodeau, mm-hmm. who was a former first-round pick a couple years back from Oregon. And then this year, Abdul Carter, former first-round pick from Penn State. So how you slow down those edge guys? I'll run the football. I'll run it right at them and say, okay, you want to just tee off and rush the quarterback? Well, you're going to stop the run first. But, man, they got some talent up front along that defensive line. It has not all come together for them, though, as a unit. And you're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. Do what you did last week. Run the ball. Buffalo didn't like it. They couldn't just have their guys just tee off and get after the quarterback until late in the game when they had, 12-point lead or whatever. That's when they're dangerous. Run the football. Run it at them. But take care of 97 first, mm-hmm. because he's the guy that can blow up a lot of plays right in the middle and in the secondary. They've spent a lot of free agent money and early picks. Paulson Adebo, who was formerly here with the Saints as a starting cornerback, they spent a lot of money in the offseason to get Javon Holland, a free safety from Miami, a second-round pick, and Tyler Newbin, a strong safety. A lot of people might remember this if you're an LSU fan, but their other starting corner is Cordell Flott, who was a starting cornerback at LSU. But in that unit, Tommy, they've played pretty well on the back end. They really have. So my thing is try to break them down, running the football, and then eventually what will happen? That safety's got to cheat up to try to help out and run support, go over the top with him.
Mike, Blake Groupie, what the hell's going on with him?
Well, at least he didn't miss one last week.
No, he missed a kickoff.
So, Tommy, it's almost like explaining about how you watch professional golfers and they get streaky. You know, they play a couple tournaments, man, they look so good, and then they come in 48th, 52nd, their short game leaves them, their long game's not there. It is so much between the ears. So much of that in the confidence, how you're striking the football. This is where, for most kickers, they never stay in the same place very long. It's you sort of live a vagabond life. And for Groupie, I think he got into that groove early in the season where he was so good, in training camp and everything, and then he would miss it.
And every now and then you find a Tiger Woods and a Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, every once in a while there's one of them like that. But, Blake Groupie to me is a good kicker. But for whatever reason, between the ears, he lost it for a while.
Man, I saw this kickoff last night. I know we got to go to the news, but now they got him kicking like a spiral kickoff to try to get it to land in the landing zone and bounce all funny and everything else. It's becoming an art is what it's becoming. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. You think the Saints win?
Yes, I do.
All right. I hope we're talking about it on Monday. Thank you, sir. Mike Dettelier. We'll take a break. Come back right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. All right, government shutdown, we know that. We thought we'd talk to John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank, see if that's having any effect on their mission yet or not. Good morning, John. How are you? How's everything at Second Harvest?
Oh, it's going great. Thanks a lot, Tommy. You know, continuing to focus on the more than 436,000 people who experience food insecurity in South Louisiana.
Has the government shutdown had anything to do with anything you guys do yet or not?
Well, we receive a significant amount of food from the USDA in the form of our commodity supplemental food program, which we deliver about 19,000, a little over 19,000 boxes of food to low-income seniors throughout our service area every month. We are okay on that so far for October and November. And then we also have Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program, which is TFAP, which we send to pantries for income qualifying people who are experiencing food insecurity. And so, and we're good for that. You know, we expect to receive the food that we ordered for October and November. And we're actively planning to make sure that we are getting the food that we need for December. We're trying to do a 90-day plan out. You know, the longest shutdown we had was in 2018 and 2019, and that was for 35 days. But we're planning for 90 days out, but we hope that this is going to be over before the end of October.
Let's hope so. Let's talk about volunteer opportunities with Second Harvest or ways that people can help, not just volunteer, but if they can volunteer, you'll take that as well, right?
We will take volunteers because those 19,000 boxes that we pack every month with food that we receive from the USDA, it has about 25 items, whether it's dry beans or canned vegetables or juice or whatever. There are about 25 items that go into that box, and volunteers do that. We have a setup at our Harahan location. We have shifts on Tuesdays through Friday at 10 a.m. to noon and then 1 p.m. to 3. But we also have two shifts on Saturday mornings as well. One starts at, I believe, 8:30 a.m. and then the other one is at 11:30 a.m. And all people have to do is go to no-hunger.org/volunteer to sign up.
Thank you, John. I appreciate your work as always. John Sillars, Chief Strategy Officer for Second Harvest Food Bank. All you have to do, see about those volunteer opportunities, go to no-hunger.org. It'll lead you right to it. And the holidays are coming up. They need your help. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Pat Connick. Governor said, you know what, tolls on Belle Chasse Bridge? I don't think so. We're going to suspend them. We'll talk about that when we return on WWL. It is 8:48, 12 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I was on the phone with the GoPass people last week, I think it was, and after going round and round saying, well, no, I have my, you have my license plate number and you have my credit card number, so why are you sending me these notices? I just said, you know what, I'll take it up with Pat Connick and the governor. And that's what I'm doing right now, as a matter of fact, talking to Senator Pat Connick, who took it up with the governor, along with Keith Hinckley and Chris Leopold, and finally got something done about these tolls. How you doing, Senator Connick?
I'm doing great, Tommy. It was Jacob Bro.
Jacob Bro, who did I say?
You said my good friend Chris Leopold.
Yeah.
It was Jacob Bro. A lot of people, it wasn't just me, there's a lot of people involved in making this happen.
Tell me what happens from, first of all, I'm getting texts from people that say they don't get the bridge tolls. Well, neither is Plenary right now. But tell me the problems that have occurred with this and why. What led the governor to say, that's it, we're going to just stop this till we straighten it out?
All right. The problem is you have a one-mile bridge through a small community. You're not crossing a river. You're not crossing miles of interstate. This isn't the right place for a toll to be put in place. It doesn't work. It stops commerce. It just hurts people instead of helps people. Businesses are suffering. No one wants to pay $5 or $25 to cross it. They avoid it, and the fees are outrageous. So that's the problem. And it was brought to the governor's attention about all this, and it was the improper billing, the lack of customer service, Now we know that the road is one of the parts of the approaches is sinking again.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Exactly. So utilities have been disrupted for over 3 years. There's no system in place to allow for DOT oversight. It's just a total mess. And I think the governor saw that and pulled the trigger based on the contract. The contract allows him to do it. And that's where we are.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the points of law there, because you are a skilled attorney. Tell me about what rights the governor has. Can this whole thing be revisited or not?
I think it has to be revisited. There's no due process. You know, like I said, the part, the Northeast approach sinking past what it should be, that's a clause that can, you know, tell them to stop, you know, and they're going to get fined for that. Utilities have been disrupted for 3 years. The contract says you can't do that. And the main thing is there's no system in place to allow for oversight or for due process for the people such as you who get a toll to a bill and who wants to protest it. The system doesn't work. You know, this was the first PPP in Louisiana, and it's a failed experiment. So we have to find a way to find the money and buy it out and stop the tolls.
That was my next question, Pat. That's the only way to extricate ourselves from this is to buy it out, right? Or strike some kind of deal with plenary?
Exactly. And I think, you know, the letter that the governor wrote yesterday is very straightforward and powerful. That was shared with my Senate colleagues. And I'm, you know, planting the seed that we got to find a way to make this right, because right now it's not right. I was at Salvo's yesterday, last night, a little celebration. That's a restaurant, a great seafood restaurant. Go visit it if you can. You got Adam's Catfish. But those folks were hurting because nobody was coming to see them. And is that what we want in Louisiana? And the answer is no.
Well, next time you go to Salvo's, call me, because I'll be glad to meet you over there. I don't live that far away from there at all. Is this indefinite, this suspension, or is it until what? Where do we stand with the bridge toll thing? I didn't see the letter the governor wrote, but give me the highlights of it.
Basically, I just said what the highlights were. One of the major parts of the issue with these guys is that they did not go through the proper Administrative Procedure Act laws to see, are these fees reasonable? Are they needed? They just start hitting people with fees without going through the process of making them, you know, without public hearings. And that doesn't work. That's illegal. And that's why, as one of the reasons why their operations have been shut down.
So is it possible that in the future the state buys them out or somehow and these tolls go away and that bridge is free?
That's what I'm going to push for. Get a payment plan, you know, the...
Bond it out, right?
Can you bond it out, do something, but the tolls do not work for this type of facility.
Especially with what's going on down there with the LNG plant. It seems like, if anything, that's where you need the free bridge.
And Tom, I think that's one of the reasons why this toll was put on this bridge, because all this construction with the LNG plant, and also they thought they were going to capture all the money that was going to be used for the building the mid-Barataria diversion. Well, that's gone. So that revenue stream that they anticipated is not there, and we got to figure out a way how to get out of this deal. So
Liz Morrow's on it. The governor's on it. You're on it. The tolls have been suspended indefinitely, correct?
Yeah, and the media's on it. Thanks to the radio, I think, you know, you guys did a great job. Paul Murphy, Channel 4, and Chris Welty, Channel 8, great. There's a guy that called me. He's called the Billboard Guy. He owns Pelican Billboards. He put up billboards on the West Bank and in Baton Rouge on this, and it made some headway. Got to thank also the Cascone Brothers. Those two guys and Del Chase have been on it since day one and work with me and feeding me information. So I think overall it's a great day for Plaquemines Parish, great day for the businesses and the citizens. We just got to keep it up, and we got to make sure we do this right going forward.
All right, everybody, Salvo's this afternoon on Pat Connick. Just kidding.
Come on.
Come on over. We'll actually go over and enjoy something over there at Salvo's. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate your time. 8:55, 5 till 9. Traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.